generosity and encouragement abound in the church and in her priests. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Barnabas, Barnabas, son of encouragement. Today is the feast of St. Barnabas. We wear red not just because it is an ordination day, and red is one of those colors for ordination, but because it also represents the martyr and apostolic evangelist Barnabas. We hear about Paul and Barnabas traveling together. Barnabas was not the saint's original name. Now, of course, we know today is not Barnabas' day. It is, in the language of the church, translated from last Sunday to today. But Barnabas is a very special saint with a special name. Joseph was his original name, a Levite from Cyprus. But because he was so generous, and so loving, and so encouraging, and such a powerful evangelist and gospeler for the message, he was named by the followers of Jesus, Son of Encouragement. In the early church, we often hear that there is a nickname given to the followers of Jesus. James and John, the brothers, sons of Zebedee, were known as Sons of Thunder. Great name, come on. Thunder Boys. I see them as bouncers who may be clearing out the feast of the 5,000, you don't know. Simon, who was also named Peter. Jesus called him Peter like rock. Because he was the rock upon which he was going to found his church. And of course, a rock who tried to walk across the water and sank like a stone. Thank you, that joke works, we'll keep that one in. Then we get to Barnabas. Now, Jesus didn't name Barnabas. The followers of Jesus did. They kept this tradition alive as part of the way of saying, who are you in the community? And just to refresh your memory, Barnabas was the one who came to the apostles and said, I've sold my farm. I've sold everything. And here's the money. Spread it and share it. Sounds like a socialist program in the Acts of the Apostles, and perhaps it was. They shared everything in common. And Barnabas was almost the first in line, but he was more than that. He was the strong, silent type, or perhaps the strong, reconciling type. For when the hot-headed Paul, not this Paul, when the hot-headed Paul, who was formerly known as Saul, was also proclaiming the gospel, the apostles in Jerusalem did not trust the young hot-headed Paul, and they weren't going to meet with him because they knew what Saul had been doing to the followers of Jesus. Saul was rounding them up, taking them away, and now he had had a change of heart. Sure, said the apostles. And it was Barnabas who stepped in with a great deal of generous trust and said, I have seen Paul's heart, meet with the guy. Were it not for Barnabas, friends, we may not have Paul. Take that in for just a moment. Most of our New Testament, all those epistles. If Paul had not sat down with the early apostles because of Barnabas, we may have had a separate religion of Paul who was never fully brought into the fold and have faded away. Barnabas had the capacity to hold on to the anxiety that the apostles and Paul felt. Such was the generosity and maturity of spirit that the strong, reconciling presence of Barnabas had. His name, Barnabas, was not just from his generosity of money and sharing and wealth, but because he was a great encourager, a consoler, someone who called people into their better nature. He would encourage people by saying, you are valuable. Your soul matters to the Holy One. The Creator of all things loves you most deeply and is recreating you for whatever you think has gone wrong in your life. Barnabas had the ability to respect the dignity of every human being. When he and Paul were wandering the Mediterranean basin and they had a falling out, at one point Paul and Barnabas had an argument about whether John Mark should be traveling with them. Such an argument that John Mark went off with Barnabas and Paul took Silas. And yet we see by the letter to the Corinthians that Paul had reconciled with Barnabas later on. And we can probably guess from their personalities in the New Testament that it wasn't Paul who reached out to Barnabas for the reconciliation, but likely it was Barnabas. Barnabas, who knew that he could always go much farther in every relationship by respecting and valuing the dignity of each one. Such is the reconciling nature. And we, friends, as the church, are called to be reconcilers, healers, and have a generosity and encouragement of spirit. And so, on a day of Barnabas, when we make a new priest in the church, we are reminded that priests also in their communities are meant to be the most generous person in the room. The most mature person in the room, like Barnabas. Oh, friends, I know. I'm looking over at the priests and our deacons and going, I know, it's really hard when someone comes up after a sermon and says, that was rubbish. Or someone at the vestry table says, Mother, Father, I can't believe you had that new policy put in place. And, of course, our human instincts are to go, that's not what I did. I didn't mean it that way, and to get all defensive. That is our response as human beings. As Christians, and by our baptismal vows in the Episcopal Church, we are all called to a higher nature, to check with our own humility. Perhaps I can set my defensiveness aside and, like Barnabas with generosity of spirit, encourage a further conversation. All Christians are called to that. And we learn how to do that from our clergy leaders. Those who are icons of the servant as deacons, and those who are mothers and fathers in Christ, to say, yes, I will be the most mature person in the room to help you in your maturity and generosity and encouragement to also grow. Priests are called presbyters for that reason. Presbyter, a marvelous Greek word, which means elder. And maybe not elder in years, but elder in spirit. Perhaps a better way to translate that is maturity. And Christ calls us all to be mature as our Father in heaven is mature. Perfect is usually the word we hear from the Gospels, but I guarantee that word teleos is tending toward the maturity or end of all things. So friends, be mature as our Father in heaven is mature, and priests, the most mature God's grace can give you in your role of love and sacramental leadership. Today, not just Barnabas and making a priest, but priesting Paul, and perhaps with just a rare bit of irony, we might say that for once, since the scriptures, for the first time on the first day, our Paul looks more like Barnabas than Paul. That should have gotten a bigger laugh. But we probably didn't laugh because it's true. And Paul and Barnabas, when they traveled around, Paul was sometimes referred to as Mercury or Hermes, and Barnabas was more like Zeus or Jupiter, the strong, silent, quiet, mature type. And we know that our Paul Barker is that strong, reconciling, generous, and mature type that Christ has formed in our midst to be not just a deacon, but a priest, presbyter, elder, tending toward the maturity of all things for your flock at Christ Church Bluefield and the Highland Education Project in McDowell. Like Barnabas, you have sold everything and come here. You have laid down your life to be a shepherd for your flock in a couple of different places. I've had the joy of witnessing you tending to your flock in the trailer park at HEP, making relationships with your fellow clergy, with people across the state, and even asking me, Bishop Matthew, is this really part of my ministry? I'm afraid that, you know, maybe that's not part of it. Well, yes, of course it is, and you and I know it is, because that is the heart that God has given you, and that is the way that the relationships in Christ are built and loved and raised up. When we are made a parent, we are always a parent. We are never not a parent. Never. We are always. That is a visible change, that is a spiritual change, that is an emotional change that happens in our lives. And we know that for those who have been called into parenthood, what that means. As priests in the church, we are sometimes called mothers and fathers, but not out of any great authority of dignity to be raised on a pedestal, goodness knows. But because, at least in the Episcopal Church, as in most historic churches, it is a permanent change as well. Spiritually, emotionally, and that your call to serve your flock here in Bluefield, in McDowell, perhaps even in larger places, and perhaps wherever God calls you farther in the future, that you will always be a priest formed as a deacon first and then as a priest to love and raise up your people, to be and to lead your people into all that God is showing you. Strong, quiet, but don't always stay quiet. Generous, a son of encourager yourself. And we, the Church of Christ, and your church in Bluefield and beyond, like the early church, are made much richer for it. Much richer in spirit, much richer in life, much richer in Christ. Thank you for laying down your life literally on the carpet for Christ and Christ's church.